Welcome to the Presentation Podcast, Season 6, Episode 137. Let's start another design studio conversation about presentation design and the business of presentation. Here are the show hosts, Troy Collar, Nolan Haynes, and Sandra Johnson.
Hi, I'm Troy Collar from TLC Creative Services based in Southern California.
Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. I'm Sandy Johnson with Presentation Wiz in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
And I'm Nolan Haynes from Nolan Haynes Creative in Montclair, New Jersey.
Okay, guys, we are together. Halloween just happened. Hopefully you guys had lots of fun, kids and whatnot, and excitement and candy and everything else Halloween oriented. But what's happening in the studios for you?
Well, Halloween was really, really fun. It was a record year for us. I think people were really wanting to get out. They didn't care how cold it was. On the office front, I'm in contract negotiations with a new client. It's really exciting. I'm still working on slide libraries, traditional sales and capabilities, presentations, and I'm also doing some template training. And I also finally began my volunteer work with Diamante Scholars. That's a nonprofit that helps kids who are not typical college material get into college, but by going the junior college route. And so I'm working with these junior college students about on best practices, presentation best practices, and how they can leverage their personal brand in their presentation style. So we're working on personal branding / presentation best practices. It's really fun.
Wow. Oh, wait. So these are actually college age. These aren't like middle school, high schoolers, as I was imagining.
They're college age. They're actually in junior college. And, you know, and some kids take that path, but this is a purposeful
that path.
Yeah, my daughter Lauren did as well. It really helps prepare them to get into a four-year university type of scenario if that's the route they want to take.
Nice. Yes. That is fantastic. Okay.
How about you, Troy?
Well, we just did the Halloween thing, and the evening before that, we did a giant pumpkin carving party, which is a big event for us. This was actually very fun. It was our 30th annual event.
Fun.
We had, 50, 60 people over, and a ton of pumpkins were carved. But what's funny about that is I just got back from Spain, where I had a week in Barcelona. It was a great meeting. I got to manage the master presentation decks for, 20 plus doctors for a drug study meeting. Nolan and I were talking before the recording how I leveraged the new SlideWise version with master slides because, you get those Franken decks, you get all kinds of stuff. But more exciting was basically landing in Los Angeles Saturday afternoon and then arriving at my house a couple hours later with, the 40, 60 people and carving pumpkins and staying awake. On the business side, I really decided because I was going to be gone. I loaded up my my Surface, kind of my secondary, my test computer. I've been getting familiar with Windows 11 and the Office refresh there. That's been my kind of designy focus, is just figuring out the future. Found a lot of notes I wanted to ask about.
Well, I am back from my first in-person training since COVID. I was for a medical device company last week in the Bay Area. It was 2 full days of training, which is always exhausting, but it went really well. It was a little stressful in that it was 2 full days of content. I've gotten very used to this remote world of 2, 3, 4 hours of content for a client. but now I sold it and had to step up to the plate. So it was 14 hours of content, but I think I got through it and it was really good. And I used my smaller Stream Deck for the first time in person, and it works just as well in person as it does remote, just for launching files and folders and my favorite use of it is just launching a countdown timer. When you take a 10-minute break, just hit one button and a PowerPoint show file comes up, and at the end it's done, and it's great. It's a lot less navigating with the mouse to different parts of your computer.
That is, I thought I was the only nerdy guy that would travel with a Stream Deck. That is awesome to hear.
No. Well, my big one is at home, but the small one fits right. Just, I didn't even.
It's like the 6-button small one or the 15 button? Wait, hold on.
Well, I guess it's the 15. It's the medium.
Okay.
I guess it's the medium. It's not the super small one, but
yeah. That's cool. Okay. So anybody listening, I know we don't ask for a lot of requests here, but I'm totally curious how many people use a Stream Deck. And if you've ever traveled with it, just drop us an email, go to thepresentationpodcast.com, and there's a contact us thing. That would be totally fun to hear about. I'm very excited actually on the Stream Deck thing. Actually, you know what? This could almost segue into news, but I'll say it here as part of my what's happening. We use StreamYard as our virtual studio system for a lot of our meetings. I mean, we use a lot of stuff, but that's the one we have a master account with. They just announced they have Stream Deck support finally. I mean, this is like a million plus user type of a virtual studio thing, and they didn't have any shortcut keys because they never thought through them. So we're on the beta release, and they just got added to our account last night. So I'm experimenting with it. It's very, very minimal, people, but very excited. So I'll actually be using my Stream Deck even more. Well, one of them. We have a number of them. Anyways, okay, let's transition to news. That was enough of that. Here we go.
Slidewise version 1.2 and then 1.3 were released shortly after each other. So there are a couple of bug updates that they fixed. But the big feature that they introduced has to do with masters and layouts. So there's now a whole new tab to manage and control masters. You can see which layouts are used by which slides and go between them and reassign slides to different masters.
It's awesome.
A small but one of my favorite parts of it is you can tell which masters are not being used anymore, or which I should say layouts and masters as well. And so, you know, I'm finalizing a template this week in which layouts have come and gone, and I'm just going to quickly go through and see, oh, no, that's not being used, delete, delete, delete. So it's just, you know, again, this is a product for, you know, people who, you know, have their head down in PowerPoint all day, but it's amazing. So
it is awesome. Mm-hmm. And I got to interrupt before you go on any further, Nolan. Mike Power, if you're listening, Nolan and I did not coordinate that conversation. See, he was looking for which master slides were still in there and not used. I've actually had an ongoing email conversation with New Power about that need to call those out a little clearer, because you got to kind of hunt through it. Anyways, that's pretty funny that we referenced that. Here, let me go with one. As you know, the Office refresh rolls out to everyone now. So it's not just the beta users on Microsoft Office. I think everyone, within the next few weeks, is going to have the Office visual refresh, as it's called. It includes myself on my production computer. So this is kind of humorous. I did not have it when I left for Barcelona. I did all my updates, and I was actually working on my Surface because I used my production computer as a show computer. So I wasn't using it a whole lot. I got into show and I suddenly realized, let me preface this by saying, if you're a QAT, quick access toolbar user, you may just go into a panic or a rage, mm-hmm. depending on who you are. I won't say which one I did. When the QAT gets changed, when the visual refresh happens, the new default is not to use icons for the QAT, but icons plus text descriptions. So back to my story. I'm now in a ballroom looking at my computer, and suddenly I realize my QAT doesn't have the icons. I can't find the button I need because it's, you know, icon plus words means, you know, I have 36 customized buttons on my QAT, you know, 13 of them fit maybe. So I had to go into my own blog post to go remember how to change it back to icons. It's actually really easy. Anybody that's interested, if you get into this situation of going, my QAT has expanded and exploded with stuff I don't want, July 26th, 2021, I have a blog post that shows you the three steps of how to switch it back to your icon only. I'll put it in the show notes as well, but July 26th is the blog post that quickly shows you how to put it back to what you're expecting, because Microsoft is being too helpful again. Okay, there's my little news item on that.
Okay.
They're being their presumptuous selves. Oh, they're going to love this. No, I get it. It's frustrating. I haven't had to deal with it yet, so.
It's coming.
Mm-hmm. But I'd like to talk about BrightSlide from Bright Carbon. It is the add-in that just keeps on giving. The most recent update is the ability to create instant complex animation that animates all selected objects to, and I'm using air quotes here, to morph to the last selected object. So you want five boxes to all morph into a single box. And typically we use the morph transition for something like this. But what Bright Carbon is doing here is they're using the old school motion path animation on the same slides, which seriously, I've been finding myself having to do that lately with some of the animations I'm creating. So it's a motion path animation, same slide with a cool calculation that instantly sets the size and rotation of each object with the motion path to create a nice visual animation. So it's not just motion paths though. And that's the only one I've been able to test so far. I believe it's colors. You can change the colors. So you want everything to quote unquote morph into a different color. You can do that. It's called Animate to Last, the perfect name. Have you gentlemen been able to give it a go?
I have not. No, I haven't. I'm looking forward to it, Troy.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've leveraged it. I was playing with it. I was checking it out. It's actually really cool. It picks up all the attributes. What's really cool is it doesn't just like, so if you have a big square and it's going down to a circle, it actually picks up two. The gross shrink. It picks up two gross shrinks. It sets one as the horizontal and one as the vertical. So it actually can morph. It alters both axes instead of it being a uniform reshrink. It's really, really, it's very cool, very advanced. I mean, it's animations that we've built for forever, but it can chain two, three, six different attributes into a single thing. I'm pretty excited. It's free. You just got to get the latest version. We'll put a link to the Bright Slide. You just got to, if you have Bright Slide installed, you just go under the help tab and say, update to new, and it'll suddenly be there right next to my favorite thing, which is the animation, my animations tab. It just shows up right next to it, I believe. It's pretty cool. I got to call out to the Microsoft Office team. And this is because I was working on my Microsoft Surface tablet, which has the Office refresh, the visual refresh version going. So I don't actually know if this is brand new or I just recently noticed it. But here's my call out. The what's new info. So you go into, file, account, and then there's a what's new button. I think it has a big update in that it now lists information based on the version of Office installed. I have not noticed this before. So as an example, here on my production computer, if I go into it, it's going to say it's here, file, account, what's new. It tells me at the top that I am using the current channel for preview build, which in and of itself is pretty dang cool to instantly figure out what build you're using, because you used to have to go into the account and info about this program and, it's kind of buried information. So one, it's there. And two, it tailors the what's new to your build. So on the beta version, like my Surface, it just had a whole bunch of information, but it was the first time I've noticed. I think they've expanded this. It's a newsworthy feature in the fact that one, it's a great way to figure out which channel of the Office you're using. And two, it seems like they're putting more information out there. Cause I think that's I think we'd all agree that, we always comment like, hey, we're using this program every day, Microsoft, and we didn't know that was there. Or how do people know this? And I think they're putting effort there.
Oh, that's good to hear. Cause that's always been a big bugaboo of mine. You just don't know when something is new, you kind of have to stumble across it.
Yeah.
There is, there's the Insider Office blog, I guess, which is where I go, which is blog-insider.office.com. That's usually where I see new features being announced, but not all of them. So
yeah,
you gotta check a few places, different places.
So what else we got going on? The news of presentation.
Yes. Well, Presentation Guild board elections are now open. And so if you're a Presentation Guild member, please, we'll put a link in the notes. Go to the notes and start your voting. I am going to just do a quick recap here if I can pull it up. So in that group is Glenn Gibson. We all were able to meet Glenn at the Presentation Summit. Amazing human being. Small personality, yeah. Exactly. Exactly. And you all know Emily Lefebvre. Kate Raimondo is a name that's newer to me.
You just go to the guild site and the elections are there for members, correct?
Yes, for members. But there's more. There's Joanna Renval. Joanna, again, another long long-term participant in our industry. So I can't wait to see what she might be able to do for the Guild. Charles Stella. Mm-hmm. Seriously, I follow him for his tweets. I mean, he has a wonderful family. Cindy Tingley. And of course, we have Rick Altman is running for re-election, as is Gitesh Bajaj. Both of them have been on the board for a very long time. Part of our guild bylaws say that we need to, a certain number need to run for re-election regularly. So those two are seeking re-election.
That's like forced churn, I think.
Yes, indeed. It would trying to keep things alive, fresh, new, you know, so...
Very exciting.
Anyways, yes, yeah, members, please cast your votes.
What else we have in the news area? Because we got wrapped up. I have a great conversation for us. You guys weren't there for this recording. Everybody, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, so we'll finish up. We know we've got a lot coming. But last week was Adobe Max, the annual design and software conference. I went day one. I couldn't go day two and three because I was training. I was on site, but I am looking forward to catching back up and watching all that on
on demand.
That's what I was looking for. And as some people know, like it used to be a really expensive in-person ticket. Mm-hmm. But now it's all completely free. Do you need to be a Creative Cloud?
You need to have an account. It can be a free account. You can literally just cause it's, you'd log in with the credential board. So a lot of people, on demand's great. The sneak peeks whole segment with the SNL comedian who I can't, Keenan. It was very, it's very long, but very funny. But it was just awesome to watch these poor Adobe developers, program managers, like trying to interact you just got to watch it. They're like, you know,
okay.
It was really well edited, but some of the new stuff is pretty dang exciting and cool. Photoshop for the web. Did you guys see that?
I saw that it came. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the other programs too now, you can review things on the web without needing the software. So like you can review InDesign and Illustrator.
You have Photoshop for the web? I'm on the beta list waiting for it to be activated.
That might be different from reviewing.
No, this is like full Photoshop. I mean, they have Photoshop for the iPad. It's like that, but now like but it's web browser based.
Wow.
Yeah, that's amazing. And it saves it to your library, so you can open up. I mean, depending on your bandwidth, you could have a mm-hmm. 3 gig file, and it might take a little while. But you open it up, and you've got all your layers, and you can do all your editing for the most part in a browser, and then it saves it into your Adobe library, so you can just kind of pick up the project, or somebody else on your team mm-hmm. can pick. Anyways, I'm pretty mm-hmm. excited about it. I'm waiting for that beta activation to happen. But what else before we move on?
Well, just one final thing. Just one final thing. I'm going to introduce Nolan here to take over listener mail. We have an awesome, Nolan received an awesome message from Orla Finnegan.
Orla, and I hope we're pronouncing that correctly, is in Ireland. And she hit me up on LinkedIn and just said she was a big fan of the podcast, so much so that she said, the three of us, Sandy, Troy, and I, live in her kitchen since she discovered the podcast, and that her 4-year-old, pronounced Fia, knows us by now. And I think that's a little ironic because my 4-year-olds have never heard the podcast, probably don't even know what even this microphone is when they come up to my office is. But I'm glad that we now have a new listener who was actually not even born when the podcast started.
Ooh.
So there you go. And she said she's looking forward to meeting us either at a guild meeting or next year's summit. And we would love to meet you as well. So thanks for that. If you do have any listener mail, want us to cover anything, as always, please let us know. Please rate us on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get your podcast content. And I think we should jump into our conversation now, right?
Yes.
Troy, I'm not hearing you.
Uh-oh.
How about if I click the unmute?
Yes, that would do it.
Okay, let me preface this.
Professional here.
Now that everybody can hear me, so I'm going to preface this. We pre-recorded this conversation at the Presentation Summit in Florida, and during that time period, I think Nolan was presenting and Sandy was down in the help center. So I went ahead and recorded this conversation. It is stellar. Everybody that uses PowerPoint is going to want to hear this because it talks about PowerPoint add-ins, the history of add-ins, what you need to know about add-ins, the future of add-ins. And outside that, Jamie and Steve are both incredible personalities, incredible people. So I'm going to kick it off. If you guys are okay, we're going to say goodbye for now. And I'm going to turn it over to this conversation. Go.
All right. We have got a great conversation because I have wrangled the two best coders in the building. They may actually be the only PowerPoint coders in the building, but they are in and of themselves, not only fantastic, but fairly infamous. And what we're going to do here, guys, is I am a power user. I love everything you build. Steve Rinsberg is with us. Jamie Garak is with us. He'll re-correct me on how I should have said that. Steve Rinsberg is, we're currently in Clearwater, Florida at the 19th Annual Presentation Summit, which means I met you 19 years ago, Steve.
Yep.
You are one of the reasons I even came to the Presentation Summit.
Really?
I really said I have no interest in like the design topics here, but mm-hmm. I want to meet these people, and you were definitely one of them because we had been conversing through email. Steve actually very much set the pace for you, Jamie, and that he built several add-ins or modified them based on pleas of just somebody he did not know. He's like, oh, that's a good idea, and he would put in features. It was very cool. So I actually went to basically shake his hand and say thank you, and what else can we expect, because you know there's so many things to do in this world of presentations. So I would love to just have a conversation about PowerPoint add-ins with the understanding for everybody listening and the people present that I am a power user of them. I know my way around Excel, XML enough to say I know my way around. I am not going to admit that I've ever written a line of code. And I'm going to ask you guys to tell us what you are seeing in the world of add-ins because it's growing. It's interesting. What would you guys say as an overall statement?
I wanted to start by saying, we both kind of know our way around PowerPoint itself and mostly do the add-in. So we do code, right, Jamie?
It's like we do code for our
We're here to learn what sins. You guys teach. Oh, by the way, I'm Steve. That was Jamie. He's the one with the kilt.
Oh, I'm gonna I was gonna
give you guys the kilt today.
Don't tell them that.
Let's just go ahead and jump right into that. Jamie, where are you currently based and where is your accent from?
So this is Jamie Garroch.
I was tried. I really tried.
It really helped out. Come out properly. So I work for Bright Carbon, and I'm based out of Minnesota, which is very less humid than we are currently here. I'm really suffering this week. I work for Bright Carbon, and I've been building add-ins probably for about the best part of 10 years. And I'm very honored to be sat next to Steve because he probably was responsible for me getting into it in the first
place.
Seeing PP Tools and coming from a marketing background and wanting to build something automated in PowerPoint and just stumbling across his website and various other places like Stack Overflow and just being curious, basically. So, yeah, I've probably got Steve to thank for being in this room as well.
We got Steve to thank for lots, but that one I did not know either. And just really quickly for anybody what was the original tool set you put out for the public?
So the original one that I put out wasn't actually anything that I built myself. Oh. So I left corporate life. I was a marketing director for a telecoms company. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to solve a problem for salespeople going into presentations environment with hundreds of slides and trying to work out how to make that nonlinear. So I created something that was called Active Presentation Designer at the time, and it no longer exists. And the concept was you could take a deck into an environment, and regardless of how the conversation went, you could steer through this deck in a nonlinear way using hyperlinks, but there were thousands of them, and the software was designed to automate that and make it easy to use. So I actually hired somebody to do that for me.
Oh, really?
And then realized that was very, very expensive. And then I went and bought a book, How to Teach Yourself to Code in VBA, and I've never looked back.
That's awesome. So I got two more questions, Steve, before we go over there. So then you developed a commercially available add-in suite, and are you okay saying the company, the title of that, the name?
Yeah, I mean, formally, when I was working for myself, so I worked for myself for 10 years in the UK, having left the corporate rat race, as it was. I created a company called YouPresent, and probably the best product that I created there was called YouTools. And it was a set of designer tools basically aimed at improving the productivity, making things faster, easier, correcting some things that people don't like in the way that PowerPoint works.
It's brilliant. And I have a point here. Mm-hmm. And its base price was,
I think it was about 40, $30.
30? Okay, yeah. I thought it was 49, but I could be in there. And then you got the opportunity to be a part of the Bright Carbon team.
I did, and I was very fortunate in meeting Richard Goring, actually, at the presentation summit.
I did not know that was the connection. Wow.
The connection.
So many connections here.
But I'd followed Bright Carbon for a number of years and was just blown away by what they were doing. Because at the time I was doing my own add-ins, I was also servicing some clients with presentation design. And then I saw Bright Carbon and what they were doing. I thought, I'm not a presentation designer. I'm going to stop because this is no good compared to the level that they're at.
So YouPresent or YouTools became a part of Bright Carbon, which created a suite called Bright Slide.
Yeah.
So and it is now available for the unbelievably low price of
$0.
And 0 cents.
And
how
this
much
is the evolution.
Pounds, though?
It converts, converts quite nicely as long as we're not doing divide
very evenly
by zero.
Too.
So, yeah. So, everybody, Bright Slide is absolutely free. It is a no-cost add-in suite of something that used to cost, I think it was $49, but it's been several years ago, or maybe that's just what you asked me to pay. and nobody has lost anything. It has gone up in just tool sets and features and everything else. And the world of presentation owes you an amazing indebtedness because it is one of the four productivity tools that is on every one of our computers or any computer I want to touch.
Well, thank you very much for that. I mean, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to provide the whole community with this tool set. And that was not an easy decision because I came from an environment where I was trying to sell something, and Bright Carbon and myself talked about, well, what are we going to do with this? Is it going to be easy to create a market and educate them about where you can get this thing from? And maybe we'll touch on that in a second.
Yes.
And we just decided that this is going to be much better just to give this thing away and give something significant back to the presentation community. And we often get people doubting our reasons for doing that. You know, are you selling the email database? Are you going to give it away free and then charge us next year? And
how
it's going to be
car warranty. People get a hold of me.
It's really strange. But it's a strange side effect of human behavior that you don't get anything for free in this world. But this really is free.
Well, I think what you ought to do is just say, well, it might be true of the free version, but we do have a pro version we can sell you for $150. Charge them and give them the same thing.
I'd pay for it in about 2 seconds.
That'd be worth it.
Okay, so switching from Jamie's storyline, which is actually some things I did not know there. Fantastic. Going over to Steve, you have offered, I think, the most add-ins of anybody out there because you continuously evolve and create new add-ins. They disappear as fast as the program adapts, but I have a collection. I have a folder. We have a thing called, you know, I have Photoshop add-ins. We have PowerPoint add-ins. You go under there, I've probably got downloads of things that you don't even remember because you've done so many things you don't remember, but there's a lineage and there's things we don't need any longer. So Steve has been coding for a very robust amount of time, and the offerings are not only short of unbelievably useful, they're also unbelievably reasonable overall. There's not a huge business model on the financial side here, folks. They're good stuff for a little money.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, on the one hand, people don't really want to pay a whole lot for add-ins. I do probably make more doing custom stuff for corporate clients, but they learn about me through the add-ins, so it's a good investment. I'm sure Jamie's in the same position, or Bright Carbon is, but I started in, well, I'd been doing a lot of coding in other languages, in fact, Visual Basic, which eventually got migrated into PowerPoint in Office 97, and I kind of hit the ground running from then on. And actually, you knew Brian Riley, of course.
Absolutely.
Brian and I were sort of partners after he we knew each other online, another one of those things. And he was seeing a client in, I don't know, Columbus, Ohio, and said, well, why don't I get my flight home to New York out of Cincinnati instead of wherever? And so he drove down and we spent an afternoon yakking and ended up being partners until he died. In fact, I was still sort of partners with him in his will, was sending checks every so often to his estate for a while.
Wow.
One of the add-ins that we developed together.
That is a story I did not know. I don't doubt the integrity of that story because that is absolutely you. So let me just kind of broaden this topic and say, what do you two feel? Because PowerPoint add-ins used to be so simplistic. It was a straight line of, this is a download item and I'm going to install it. And then somewhere away along the line, it suddenly became the word add-in could be a web-based component, which isn't actually installed. It's just accessed or however we want to. There's some installed components, but it's not like a standalone commodity item. And then there was installed ones, and then there's two different language versions of them. And, you know, what do you guys think of the installed versus the, I guess, what do I call it, web accessible add-ins?
It's a confusing area because Microsoft have not done themselves any favors in the way that they've named it and evolved it.
They muddied the terminology.
They did muddy the terminology.
Yeah. And JavaScript add-ins, I guess, is one way of putting it.
You could say that. Well, it's gone through, I think it was Office add-ins, then it was Web add-ins, then it was Office.js add-ins. Basically, there are two different kinds of add-ins. Yeah. There's the ones that you have to download from somewhere and install. And Steve's pointing three fingers at me.
And I'm leaving the one in the middle upright.
And I was going to say the second type is the one that sits in the cloud. So essentially, there are stuff that you have to install and stuff that sits in the cloud.
What's the third, Steve?
Well, okay, so the difference between the ones that sit in the cloud, I think they can download too, can't they? The JavaScript ones,
not in any case. Definitely not all.
The advantage to those is that they work with any platform. Mm-hmm. If you're using the web browser version of PowerPoint, you're using a Mac or iOS on your phone, they work in all of them. The problem is they don't do a lot yet. Microsoft began developing them with Excel, and that's just continually, as I understand. I listen to the Excel guys talk about them, and they seem to be fairly robust. We can't do a whole lot with them in PowerPoint. So the third one I was thinking was .NET add-ins, which is a programming language that's external to PowerPoint and probably actually more powerful than the VBA built into PowerPoint, but they have their own problems of installation and whatnot. But some of the bigger, more powerful add-ins are usually .NET.
So .NET, VBA, and Java.
I'd put the .NET and the VBA together in one clump, which is something you download and install versus something which is a web-based thing, which has a fantastic purpose because what it's done is opened up the environment for the likes of the Noun Project and Pexels and Adobe Stock to actually not have to install gigabytes worth of assets on your machine. So you're accessing all of this fantastic content through the cloud rather than installing it directly on the machine. But then the other model, the earlier model, if you like, the historic model where you download something and install it, that still is much more powerful. You can't do the things with the web-based add-ins that you can with these with VBA and .NET. It's like get right inside the guts of PowerPoint and change its behaviors. And probably one of the most common ones I think that all add-in developers will do is mess around with alignment. Mm-hmm. And add shortcuts and different keystrokes.
Or hijack the native PowerPoint tool set of alignment icons.
Like you reported once.
And it works so much better than the base set. I have a hard time when somebody gives me a new install of PowerPoint. I go to align left. I'm like, wait, why didn't it move to the one I selected first? Oh, yeah, because an add-in hijacked those and made it an improvement in workflow. So what do you... Now, we have the different languages they can be written in. We have the different install versus cloud-based. And the cloud-based ones, I had PowerPoint open and my computer went to sleep. I was going to list you go under the insert. And is it insert?
It's insert and there's a button called add-ins. And you'll see it whether you're in PowerPoint or Word or Excel or Outlook. But it opens up the Office store, which only promotes the web-based add-ins. And this is what I was alluding to in my session yesterday. In effect, users really don't care what the underlying technology is, and they shouldn't need to care. Hmm. But my point that I was trying to make yesterday was you will only see the web-based add-ins promoted through the Microsoft Office suite of applications. So you're missing out on the other kind. So if you've ever used iSpring Presenter for iSpring Converter to convert PowerPoint to HTML5, you won't find iSpring Presenter in the add-ins button.
That's really good.
So you need to know where to look. And there is nowhere that has a comprehensive catalog of all of the other types of add-ins. And that's an issue for add-in publishers, being able to make their product visible. And you have to spend a lot of money to educate the market to make sure that they know that your product exists.
Great observation. I was going to go down a path, and now I'm trying to rethink it because I've got three other thoughts from that. So we have the code languages, we have the install types, and then we have the different OSs. So we have basically Mac, Windows, and the third one, I'm just going to say mobile. I mean, iOS, Android, this and that. So the cloud-based add-ins, do they work across all three ecosystems or four? I'm just going to say mobile. We're just going to go with mobile is mobile.
Pretty much everywhere. That's the big selling point, actually.
So limited functionality, but you could actually have the same, and it goes with your Office profile. So if I have it installed and available on my desktop, on my phone, if
online,
I'm opening, same, as long as I'm
online, iPad, Windows, Mac.
Okay, let's now talk Mac because you brought it up.
Okay.
How does Mac work into the equation versus Windows?
I mean, I can definitely see the strategy of moving these web-based add-ins and promoting those from a Microsoft perspective, because they're trying to work out how to deal with the plethora of platforms.
Ooh, alliteration!
Alliteration. There we go. That was unintended. If we want to do something tightly integrated, we have to go back to the older technology, which is VBA, not even VBA or .NET, because there's no .NET on Mac. Therefore, you have to write in VBA, which is about 25 years old. So you're using really old stuff to create something new, which presents its own challenges. And creating an add-in on Mac is, to be quite honest, my worst nightmare. It's extremely complicated. Some of the functionality doesn't exist, even though there's this quoted common platform between PowerPoint on Windows and PowerPoint on Mac. Try to build an installer for Mac. It's a complete nightmare. Having to send the product to Apple for a process known as notarization. So they actually notarize the product. You send it to them, even though they're not going to put it into the Apple store. And they send it back with an electronic ticket, which then gets stapled. And the staple is an electronic process to the original installer. And then you can actually ship it, and it won't get flagged as viral or malware or whatever. The whole process is extremely painful. But fortunately, there is a great new installer package from an Excel developer. I'm not sure whether this is an MVP or not. And it's called Click and Install. And you pointed
Excel,
me in the direction, didn't
I think
you?
Yeah. I stumbled across it because I'm going to have to do that shortly. I'm not sure they're even Excel developers. I think they're just sort of that became part of their wordplay when they invented the name for themselves.
That's interesting.
Is that the name handy?
Yeah, it's excelsoftware.com / click install Mac. So they've created a dedicated developer tool which enables you to create an installer for an Office application, because that doesn't exist on Mac.
No.
There's this thing called Xcode, which is for developing OS X applications or Mac OS applications, but they don't touch Office. They don't care about Office.
So we've just left my realm of knowledge. So let me try and dumb this down to me. So this developer tool set, is it creating an installer? So you take your code base and it's basically wrapping it for Mac, or what is it accomplishing?
Yeah, so typically you'll get an XE or an MSI on Windows if you're installing software. For Mac, it'll either be a DMG or a PKG file.
So it's taking your code and wrapping it in that.
Putting inside that. And that
makes a genuine Mac installer like you're used to using, since instead of you having to give the user all sorts of weird directions about where to put files. Okay. And it actually, the same program works for either Windows or Mac, which is kind of cool.
Oh, that's very cool.
And I have to shout out to the folks there. I can't remember how long we spent long time on the phone. When I found them first and called and talked to them about it, they were real good. I was very impressed. Good technical support.
Now, you made a statement, Jamie, that something along the lines of developing for Mac makes me curl up and want to cry.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure that's what you were insinuating.
Neither of those PM words. Mr. Alliteration today.
Your add-in tool set is the first suite that was pretty much all Mac eligible. I mean, there were certain features that didn't work. So you, even though you cringe at this, I think, because you've had some Mac-based stuff, Steve.
I've had to do it for clients.
Individual elements, but you create a whole suite that's publicly available. Now, by the way, folks, you can get Mac. You can get BrightSlide for Mac. So was that like a lesson in flogging yourself, or what happened?
Can I name the person who flogged me? Because I've got my colleague Richard Goring to thank for presenting BrightSlide at a conference. I think it was Creative Pro Week, and of course that's very very Mac oriented. And the biggest question from that audience was, is it available on Mac? And we're seeing that much more now in the enterprise stuff that we're doing, the kind of private contract work that we do for custom add-ins for clients. It comes up time and time again.
Really?
Is it available for Mac? So everything that we do now needs to consider Mac. And the only way to do that with these more integrated add-ins is to use VBA. So you have to go back to the first platform to develop in with taking that into consideration.
So Steve, do you prefer VBA as a code base? I know it's your familiarity zone because you helped invent it.
Which
environment is better for you as a developer?
Oh, VBA by far.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's .NET when it first came out was you had to use what was it called? The Office, some other component that you had to add to
VBA.
Whatever it was called, you had to add it, and then it was very version specific. So if you want, and if you wanted to write for older versions of Office, which at the time there were quite a few people still using, you just couldn't do it. So that was kind of a biggie for me. I was still supporting people using, I don't know, probably Office 2000, and until very recently, a lot of my stuff still ran as old as Office 97 and certainly 2000.
Wow.
A lot of it probably would still run in 2003, at least for a couple of weeks yet. Anyway,
what's 2003?
It was a movie that followed 2001. Yeah.
Space Odyssey 2003. Yet, no, I wasn't born then.
And which is your favorite platform if you had to choose between .NET and VBA?
I'd have to choose VBA because
the cross platform.
Everything has to be compatible with Mac, and that's the only choice. Unless you want to develop, I mean, there are some companies now, I think ThinkCell is a good example, where they've got an add-in on both Windows and Mac, but it's not using the common code base. They rewrote it completely.
Really?
That's an undertaking,
And support and upgrade.
Yep.
So has Office 365, the whole unified subscription, changed the outlook of add-in development in any way? For good or bad, maybe.
Doesn't seem to affect what we do a whole lot.
I guess the only thing that could be a challenge is the appearance and disappearance of functionality on a more rapid basis.
Yes,
not the actual thought I was thinking was going to be talked about.
But you have to understand that when you're working in VBA or any of the other languages, it doesn't really matter what. Sometimes when a new functionality appears in Office, it doesn't necessarily appear to VBA in a form that we can use it. So if it comes and goes, it just really doesn't matter a whole lot.
We had something that broke just last week due to the introduction of modern comments in PowerPoint, which is a great new extension to the PowerPoint tool set. And it just killed one of our features. And somebody reported it to us and said, well, this has stopped working. So we dug in the code and realized that it was because they'd introduced the new upgraded version of commenting in PowerPoint. So you never know what's going to happen tomorrow. That something new might appear that breaks something might disappear that breaks it. EPS,
Absolutely.
Broke a whole bunch of commercial add-ins around the world.
Microsoft simply broke EPS.
They broke EPS, yeah.
What did they say? The job ain't done till Adobe won't run.
So, encapsulated PostScript to SVG, that was a big one.
Hmm.
Well, okay, let me pick up on the SVG thing, because I'm very excited about, as example, the Noun project as a PowerPoint add-in. You can now search in their search pane, their window pane within Office, and you can pull in SVG graphics. They don't have to be Ping images. And that's because Microsoft expanded their API availability. Is that a add-in consideration?
They are doing a much better job. Like Steve said earlier on, there were a lot of APIs for the Office JS, the web-based add-ins, at the beginning in Excel, and there were two or three in PowerPoint. And I think as of today, there's more than 100, but it's still nowhere near the thousands that there are on the VBA side. But but you can clearly see that Microsoft is investing in this area, so I think it's something to really watch out for. We'll see a lot more innovation in this space in the web-based add-ins. Today, they're really focused on connecting to web-based services to deliver huge access to large assets, pictures, icons,
and it's super.
It is fantastic. The likes of the Noun project, which you mentioned, Troy, and the ability to pull in the SVG icon, it's just superb. You don't have to leave PowerPoint anymore to go and get that amazing content. It is really very, very powerful.
Obviously, their internal icon library and their I've forgotten the name. What do they call the stickers and the others? But and I know that their internal thing offering basically drove the need to expand that API offering. But other companies are picking up on it, which I think is very, very cool.
And that's internal in the sense of it's internal, an internal feature to Microsoft. It's not an add-in that somebody else has sold you, but they're still going out to the internet to pull all the content in.
True.
So yes. They built the platform.
If you're not online, it doesn't do anything.
That's right. Yeah.
So as much of Microsoft would like the world to just run that way, because it makes subscriptions much easier too.
It used to be my argument that if you want to use these add-ins on a plane, then you can't. But now you've got Wi-Fi on a plane. So there aren't very many places, to be honest with you. Maybe if you're scuba diving and you want to create your next PowerPoint presentation underwater, then you'll be limited there.
I've got some friends in Australia that would tell you, well, yeah, I suppose I could use it if I was willing to wait like 3, 4, 5 hours for the dialogue box to load so I could choose one or two of those images.
Mm. Yes, it is the eternal spinning wheel of doom, isn't it? Waiting for the content to come down, the latency.
You know, not even in cities, but further away from major centers, and they're looking at, I don't know, 2400 baud modems still, using telephone lines.
What do the two of you as developers like or dislike about the ribbon in the fact that there's not a specific add-ins tab anymore? There is, but all add-ins used to populate in one area, and then you could kind of organize them a little. But now you can, like, I don't know, create a one called Bright Slide, and you can have your own area, and then you can populate yours. And then somewhere in add-ins aren't even in their own tab or in the add-ins; they're suddenly filtering out to other places. I find it as a user a little more confusing.
It's hard to learn the technology. If you had to do it manually, it'd be disastrous, which is what people initially had to do, manually editing the XML. And it's still just mildly tricky. It's not that hard to learn, though. And there are tools to make it very simple.
So says the XML
god. Well, yeah, but I mean, no, it's just a text file, people. But there are tools that make it.
The whole thing is just zeros and ones, just for reference.
Yeah, that's right. You know, you just put them in the right order, and the world is your oyster. But I do like the fact that you can add your own tab, and you can, for example, my stuff goes on a PowerPoint Tools, PP Tools tab, and I can put my stuff on there. And if I wish, I can also toss it onto someplace that's kind of more rational. So if you don't want to look for it on the PP Tools tab, maybe it's a belongs in the design tab. I can put it there too.
Oh, wait, hold on, because neither one of you were the first company I experienced this with, but the QAT and the ability to add. Now, how do I define it? So we have an individual icon within a larger.
Expand the acronym.
Quick Access Toolbar. The QAT is my absolute go-to, and you can't change mine because I now use the Stream Deck for shortcutting, and I access it, you know, hitting the Alt key brings up, you know, you can access things on the QAT because they become a number sequence, and then the numbers become letters, and then the letters become double letters. So because I want to have quick buttons to a lot of tools, I've actually programmed our Stream Decks to access the QAT. So if I reorder the QAT, I actually break tools we put in place. But originally, add-ins, you could add like a whole chunk of tools to QAT. You could not add like, I just want the paintbrush or the eraser, or I'm making up things that don't exist for either one of your tools, by the way, very consciously. Or you couldn't add just the one little icon. Tools 2 was the first developer set that I realized you could right-click and add, I think, almost any one of his individual icons and feature to the QAT and reorder it wherever you wanted to. I believe all of BrightSlide can do that now.
Almost all. There are some things that are in menus. Maybe which some of those legacy ones. But you can put the whole menu inside the QAT.
Yeah, see, I don't want that. That defeats the idea of a QAT.
Well, it does. But for the vast majority, you can put the individual features inside the QAT.
But it wasn't always that way for developers. So obviously something changed or you all got smarter. I don't know which one.
Smarter, yeah. I mean, there was this concept of, you really don't want to go into the XML, do you?
I'll lose the conversation quickly, but there are people listening that'll be on edge.
Okay, folks, if you're on edge, look up namespaces. There you go.
Okay.
Just to come back to that point about being able to put it anywhere, that's a really powerful thing because you can address to different types of users as well. So in BrightSlide, for example, we've got an animation group inside our tab, which has all the animation tools. But some users don't want to go to the BrightSlide tab. They'd rather have all of those animation tools in the animations tab. So there's a little arrow in the bottom right-hand corner of the group, and you can click that and toggle it, and it will move it from the BrightSlide tab into the animations tab. So if you don't,
Aren't you clever?
Really?
Nice. I see Troy's jaw has just.
I just
hit
clicked
the floor.
It. Now is it going to duplicate it or is it going to move it?
Well,
I would prefer it duplicate it because I don't want to lose it where it is. Right. But this is amazing.
For you conceptually, it moves it. For me, it hides it in one place and makes it visible in the other place. But the impression is that it moves it.
I've never.
So how do
clicked
you get it back
little...
if he decides? Can you do that?
You can do it. Yeah, right, go to the animations tab, click the same arrow in the bottom right. Very so nice. It's a dialogue box launcher in the bottom right hand corner of the group.
So for both of you, you've both stated that you're not presentation designers.
Mm-hmm.
Can you admit verbally? Yes,
by absolutely
holding
true.
Your,
okay.
Yes, I can. Okay.
Sometimes I'm forced into it.
So obviously, the tool sets are incredibly valuable to designers as well as presenters, as well as content creators, as well as content creators in that they're taking PowerPoint and moving it to other elements. There's all kinds of layers. Jamie and I were talking about this. How do you categorize add-ins in and of themselves? Mm-hmm. But seeing how neither one of you are yourself professed to not be designers and your tools are invaluable to designers, where do you get your inspiration? What mountain do you climb and search and say, that's it?
I listen to you.
Listening is number one.
Yeah.
It's coming to a conference like this and hearing somebody's pain.
I've seen your notebook, trying to find a way. You're typing away nonstop when people are talking.
That's my raison d'etre to solve people's problems and put a smile on those people's faces. And I just love solving a difficult problem and making something easier for somebody. It's very, very rewarding.
Anybody who knows PowerPoint and has hung out online to any degree knows that I'm kind of like all over Microsoft Answers and any number of other technical support forums.
Very, very true. Yes.
Well, part of that is because I just like helping people. That's why I run the Help Center here at Presentation Summit. But part of it is simple market research. I listen for problems that keep coming up over and over and over. And if enough people complain about something, it's obviously Microsoft hasn't gotten around to addressing it yet. So maybe I will. And sometimes I do.
Oftentimes, yes.
We have another dimension in Bright Carbon because, of course, we have a design studio full of designers that are in Illustrator and PowerPoint on a daily basis. And they bring huge value in understanding workflows in Illustrator and wanting to be able to do the same thing in PowerPoint. So a lot of what we put into the BrightSlide roadmap comes from those designers. I mean, the guides feature in BrightSlide is a key example. The way that I wrote it, I had no idea how Illustrator worked. So it was just a pile of poop, basically. And I worked with a great guy called Tarvi Drell. He's one of our lead designers and UX designers. He's got a lot of experience. We clashed heads and came up with a completely new approach to designing the user interface using VBA. And it's a little bit like people saying, how did you do that presentation? That doesn't look like PowerPoint. And that's all of us are really appreciative of when you get a comment like that, because it means you've done a great job. And the same thing exists in the add-in world, because if somebody says, how did you do that? That can't be VBA. How did you do that in VBA? Because VBA looks like it came out when
1974?
1970s, right? 1997. Yeah, well, it looks old. It looks old and tired.
Yeah.
So, you know, put those two skills together with UX design and coding, and you can come up with something that stuns people into silence almost.
Phenomenal. I will say that both of these gentlemen actively will take requests, and oftentimes they will show up in a product. Or if you're named Nolan Hames, you can just say, hey, I really would like this. And Jamie will just go away and do it. Or if you're Steve, we've talked about interfaces and workflows, and suddenly things are modified. I have a lot of great stories, like going back.
And I did for Nolan, actually. Nolan and a couple other people, where you're replacing fonts that you can't replace in PowerPoint. And our friends at New Power.
But why can't you replace them? Oh, we'll go.
Oh, don't go there. Don't go there. But you can if you're brutal enough. And again, this delves into the XML, where I've got an add-in that literally takes apart the XML, goes through, replaces all the names of the fonts. And I was just finishing up testing, and our friends at New Power came up with one that, by all reports, does a fabulous job and does a lot of other cool stuff.
SlideWise definitely does it a lot, but it's...
I'm told that it doesn't always hit all the fonts that you want to replace, whereas mine does, so we can talk.
We should say, actually, that just for the benefit of doubt, that any PowerPoint file, take a PPTX file and change the extension to .zip, and then you can see all of the content inside that PowerPoint file. So
No. You install 7-zip, and you just right-click on the file.
You can do 7-zip as well.
Well, it also...
We're talking about XML, it's the content inside the PowerPoint file, which actually makes up the presentation slides.
There's a lot in there. Yeah, there's definitely a lot. Stuff in there. And some of the coolest things are in there. And it's sometimes the access is not as necessary as it was before. As example, the ability to... extract images and stuff much easier now from presentations, and some add-ins that do it much more efficiently than breaking it open and copying them out. But still can't go find a good asset manager that tells you. Actually, no, SlideWise does that now. Does a really good job of telling you which image is big and on which slide.
Yep.
So you don't have to do the brute force. I'm just going to compress them all. Or
SlideWise is probably one of the best add-ins that was launched in the last 12 months. It's a superb add-in. Replacing fonts, finding huge media files, it does a superb job of that. Really, really good.
It does not replace a media. You can't like take one video and turn it into another video, though. I don't believe.
I don't think so, no.
That's one of the things I'd love to do is, you know, you can change photo. Just throwing this out here. Yeah. Ideas. You can do change picture, excuse me. You know, you have all your animations, you have everything else. Why can't we do it with a video?
Where's like Mike Power, video? The SlideWise guy, when he needs? He didn't show up this year.
I think he did an online thing, didn't he?
Did he?
I don't know the answer to that because I've been running in multiple circles of doing everything else.
Like a madman, yeah.
So anyways, there is so many cool things. And as a Power user, and my whole team basically comes into PowerPoint, we hire designers, and then we say, this is where we design, and these are the tools we use. And then they talk to somebody else, and they're like, you don't know about BrightSlide? Well, it's been on my computer since the day I started using this program. How could you not know about it? And
we look at people and go, what? It's not part of PowerPoint?
And I know the story's been told several times, but Steve has been generous enough to take a user-named tool and make it its own little installer, and it's one of the most powerful things around there. So tell us, you know, briefly about Thor.
Okay, well, I mentioned Brian Riley. That was the first thing that Brian and I ever did.
I did not know this.
We ended up putting a couple other random tools together and calling it the starter set.
Yes.
And then we had a deluxe version of it that you could buy for $20 that would upgrade it.
$19.99.
Nobody ever bought it.
I bought it. multiple times.
The starter set? Did you really?
Well, the starter set pro or starter set plus
or whatever. You were the only person that bought it, I think.
It was
that accounts for both sales.
It added. What was the? It added two things that were not in it. They were invaluable.
The hammer is what it added.
The hammer was
one. There was a shape, kind of a shape inspector. Told you a bunch of things about. There were a couple of other things.
Yep.
But really, it was the hammer that people were interested in, and Taylor Kroonquist just bugged me endlessly about that. It ended up doing a video and several podcasts about it. And finally, it's like, okay, Taylor, I give up. And I have to give credit. Echo Swinford also did a certain amount of butt kicking. I just decided to turn it into its own add-in, not charge for it. And what it does is lets you memorize the position and shape, position and size of any shape on a slide. And then apply that same position and shape size to any other shape or group of shapes that you like, including memorizing the position and shape of the slide itself so that you can drop an image in and say, bang, center it, make it fill the slide, which is probably one of the most useful parts.
How do you
use it?
I use it. We do medical slides continuously, and you have the footer content, the reference, the source
elements. The second most popular use.
Yeah. And so we use it in combination. We use the eyedropper tool, which I know Microsoft is sort of hidden. We put it back on the QAT because I find it more powerful than the format painter tool. So the first thing we'll do is we'll pick up the attributes of the text, size, line space, and this and that. So we'll pick that up, and then we'll pick up the position and box size and attributes with Thor. So we literally go through 300 slides, click the outside of the text box. We're selecting the shape, apply the text attributes, then apply the hammer. Page down, repeat. Page down, repeat. Repeat. It is a brilliant thing. So I'm on my blog, and the last time I talked, which is actually more recent than I thought it was, PP Tools starter set was in June 2016. I highlight my three favorite tools within it.
Ah.
Number one, the memorize objects position before it was called Thor, which is basically Thor. So I use that all the time. The second one, which I still endear to have available, is the resize text by point size. So I don't have to follow the Microsoft steps. You had the small layout, you would take it from 13, 14, 15, 16. Incredibly valuable. And then the last one I list here was Layout Manager. I loved Layout Manager. This tool is mostly outdated, so says the 2016, but I like to use it as an example of how independent developers, hence Mr. Rinsberg, I am reading this from 2016 for the first time, being amazed.
What's Layout
this
Manager? Is really- No, oh my goodness. Is that somebody else's?
Are I think. Often more in tune with real designer needs than the Microsoft development team. This amazing tool opens a small dialogue that is basically PowerPoint selection pane. This was pre-selection pane.
Manager, not layout. Selection manager. Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, did I call it the wrong thing?
Yeah.
It says layout manager here, though.
Hmm? Well,
subtitle, title, in my little diagram. And it allows you to rearrange the Z order of hidden content or unhidden content.
It's been available
since PowerPoint 2003.
And it's free.
It was free, yes. Yeah.
It is free.
And I actually say this is the free version. The paid version has additional tools, well worth it. Find it on the website here. Ooh, let's click and see if this website page is still active from 2016. Boom, we are there.
I should come back to my point earlier on about Mac users, because I demoed Steve's Thor during my session at the presentation summit yesterday.
It almost worked.
And it did. Well, it almost worked. Yeah, there's some fumbling around by the demonstrator, I think. But the first question from the
fumbling around by Mr. Jobs and his people.
The first question that came back during that part of the session from the remote audience or the people at home who couldn't join us in person was, is there a Mac version? So I don't want to put you under too much pressure here.
It's just VBA.
It's easy.
There's an installer wrapper now.
5 or 10 minutes.
Well, maybe that will be the first one of my add-ins I convert from Mac. Of course,
we'll check back at the next presentation
the
summit.
The Apple people do their best to stop me in my tracks.
They do. They do.
Yeah.
Give me a call.
Yep.
Well, guys, outside the fact that it's absolutely beautiful weather, we've had a great conversation. We also have dinner we can walk to an outdoor patio to, so I don't want to keep us too long. Any final, well, actually, let's do this. I need you to formally say who your, you know, your company name and where to find your ad inset, please.
Ah, Steve Rinsberg, pptools.com. That's pptools.com.
Everything is there, and that'll also get you to the PPT FAQ.
Separate. Which, well, that's another.
But it's
separate,
a linkable with
not connected. Really, but PPT FAQ is just a huge collection of frequently asked questions and infrequently asked questions. All sorts of resources.
I've used it recently, actually, to look up legacy answers for people. I was like, I know where I can find this was documented. So
yeah.
Okay, so pptools.com. And Jamie, where do we find your ad inset?
So if you go to brightcarbon.com and click on the products tab, you'll see BrightSlide and a whole bunch of other stuff as well. And you can download BrightSlide for both Windows and Mac, thanks to some very, very long evenings.
Those are usually around January, February, seems like you live in Minnesota, right?
When there's nothing else to do outside, exactly.
When it's negative 20.
Yeah.
And I have to throw in that Jamie has been very generous in sharing his, he's endured the pain and then shared with me the results and the learning. So I
want to watch somebody else endure the pain as well. So I'm just sharing it with you, Steve.
Sucker me in. Commiserate with. Yeah, there's so many great offers. So thank you guys. I really appreciate you guys letting me drag you over here, pull you away from everybody. So let's wrap this one up. I'll let you know when this goes live so everybody joined us. This was pre-recorded at the Presentation Summit 2021. And Jamie and Steve, thank you. Phenomenal. Appreciate it.
Thank you. It's an honor.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us for another great presentation conversation. Episode show notes are available on the Presentation Podcast website at www.thepresentationpodcast.com. Also through the website, contact the show hosts with episode suggestions, questions, or comments. We want other designers to join us, and you can help. Please leave a review on iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services Incorporated, and new episodes release on the first and third Tuesday of each month.